To a non-familiar right now Christmas verse. It's not so Christmassy, but it's going to kind of lay the foundation of what we're going to look at this morning in 1 Kings. A couple of weeks ago, actually it was more like a month and a half ago, I talked about the experience that Elijah had on the mountain with God. And I'm going to be referring a little bit to that this morning. The purpose of Jesus Christ coming is revealed fully in him as an adult when he gave his life for us. But 2 weeks ago, I shared with you a message that was Jesus needed to come to earth the way that he did as a baby born in Bethlehem through this immaculate conception of the virgin birth. It had to happen that way because the Bible is very specific about the birth of Jesus. And so you can't minimize the birth of Christ and still understand the fullness of who God is through Jesus Christ. The entirety of his life is what we are able to worship and celebrate. For example, Jesus being born the way that he was, if he didn't complete all of the prophetic words that were spoken, this particular day would have less of a meaning, because it's one thing to celebrate the birth of a great leader. It's one thing to celebrate and have a holiday where we recognize our founding fathers or some great explorer or our various things that we do in our culture. We celebrate when they came and when they were born or when they did something magnificent. But it doesn't hold the same value because we take their life in scope and we find out they were just a human. They were just a person that was living on this earth doing their thing. But something really special happened in Jesus's life that compels us in a moment like this to celebrate his birth. But the celebration of his birth only carries meaning when we take his whole life in scope, because it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that truly makes that birth as significant as it really is. And when Jesus' birth was being foretold to Mary, there was an encounter that she had that the angel said, "And his name shall be called Emmanuel," meaning God with us. And the interesting thing about that is that in order for us to take this full scope in, we need to realize that God was bringing himself to this earth for us to have a very specific relationship with him. This morning, no doubt, there's many things on your mind. If you're planning on joining us tonight at 6 o'clock, maybe you're doing like the backwards math. Okay, how much can I get done before I get back in my car and come to church this evening? Maybe your job, you've had to work all the way up until Friday, and you just haven't had a chance to do everything you needed, and so you were pushing everything together yesterday, and there's a few things that you left dangling out there. You're thinking, okay, Walmart is still open. I can run up and down the aisles and grab some stocking stuffers, and I can get some things done. But what happens is that in this moment of our culture, we have to remember what it is that makes today and tomorrow so special. And it is, in fact, the birth, the life, and the coming of Jesus, meaning Emmanuel, God with us. Elijah had a very unique relationship with God in that God spoke to him audibly. That's something that very few people in today's world can attest to. Every once in a while you hear someone use the phrase, and God told me, or God spoke to me. And a lot of times what they're referring to is an internal conversation that they just really knew that God was pressing on them to share something or to have an experience or to be a part of something. But Elijah and a number of the prophets had this unique relationship with God that he audibly spoke to them. Can you imagine that type of thing happening in your life? I've heard the testimony, and I've heard people share about God speaking to them, just like I'm talking to you right now. They said, I heard the voice of the Lord. And this is how God communicated with Elijah. And he had just had this incredible encounter of seeing God's power and God's authority. If you remember back to the message that I shared on him, he had all of these prophets come and these false prophets gathered around, and they were trying to light their sacrifice on fire, and he doused his in water and prayed a simple prayer, and God instantly consumed that altar with fire. And in that moment, everyone was able to see the authority and the power and the true aspect of who God was. But even after that event, Elijah began to waver in his understanding of who God was. And so God wanted to comfort him. I wonder this morning if there's anyone here who needs to be comforted by the Lord. We're about to enter into this season, and tomorrow, today, different things are happening. And many of you might be surrounded by lots of people, but even though you're surrounded by lots of people, maybe there's an emptiness this morning that you desire to have filled that only God can fill. Or maybe you're in a situation where you've had your time with your family. I know that different times the way families work is that everybody can only get together maybe the week before, or someone's already planned something, and so they get together. And today and tomorrow, maybe there's going to be some loneliness that you're going to be experiencing. I want you to know that God sent Emmanuel to us to be with us and to walk with us. And Elijah was in a similar circumstance. And so what he did is God spoke to Elijah this way in 1 Kings chapter 19. One of the things, before I read this verse, one of the things that I really like about this is, I don't know how many of you have seen the most recent film that's come out about the Nativity. And one of the things that's happening in the Nativity movie is that the children are learning the Old Testament history. And this is one of the verses that they're reciting together while Mary is there preparing the bread for them to eat afterwards. In verse 11, chapter 19, 1 Kings. And he said, this is God, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." This morning, I want to talk with you just for a few moments. This whisper is something that the event of Jesus' birth was being coordinated and put together. There were angels that were appearing before different people, and at different times they were in private, and things were kind of being orchestrated and drawn together. The shepherds, initially they're approached by a single angel, and then the heavens open up, and there's a host of angels that are standing before them, all proclaiming that Emmanuel has been born. In order for there to be a whisper, that person has to be close. God whispered to Elijah. And in order for him to do that, he He didn't do that from light years away. He came, and after he saw the strength of his power and what God could do, he came and there was a whisper. And in that moment, there was actually a prophetic sense of what God wanted to be able to do all the time. See, in Elijah's day, there were a handful of people that had this kind of relationship with God. God would speak to them audibly and they would share with the people, or they would approach the king, or they would approach the leaders, or they would go into battle and they would fight, or they would stand strong, or they would challenge the people to worship him, and because they had heard the voice of God and God had instructed them to do something. But I want you to know something this morning. God wants to speak to you every single day of your life. He wants to have such a relationship with you that he would not be far. He would not be the God that has maybe been painted for you in your youth, where you think of God up on this throne with a long beard and his bony knuckles hanging over the side of a throne, and he's sitting there and he's commanding and ruling the universe, and he's this some kind of God who just waiting for you to fail. No, he's waiting for you to hear a whisper. Here, to just be able to take a moment and realize that the atmosphere that we're in right now is created by man. This, we got to get this thing and we got to do this. And the next 48 hours are awesome. But sometimes we tend to, on the 26th, go, okay, now I can relax. All of that is over with. And I find myself in that boat sometimes. I find myself looking forward to the 26th. Because what is happening is that culture has dictated. But this morning, I wonder, as we get together here right now, would you be able to say, God, in my life, I want to hear that whisper. I want to have that relationship with you in such a way that I could find out that you are speaking to me through the life of Christ, that my relationship with you is based strongly upon who Jesus is and where I am. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And that's what I've been talking to you about. It's just saying God communicated through a handful of people. But then in verse 2, it goes this way. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Emmanuel, God with us. To just be able to say, God, I know that there was a time when you had to speak individually to different ones and then we would hear it. I want you to know this morning that God desires to speak to you right now. If we could go up and down these aisles and in these individual chairs, and I would just say to you before you go, I want you to know God has a word for you. God wants to speak to you. God wants to reveal himself to you specifically. There was a season in church history where it was actually still viewed that the person who was sharing the message or opening the word, okay, you tell me what the Bible says and you tell me what to do, and you just, I want to see it through your filter. But that's not at all what God was wanting to do. From the moment that Jesus appeared, he was saying, I have a word for all people, all nations, that everyone would come. This morning, God wants to speak to you individually, right now, who you are. God wants to come to you and speak to you. In Philippians chapter 2, Verses 5 through 8, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." He was made in human likeness. He humbled himself. And in that likeness, he didn't go around kind of wearing that out there. He related to people first. And then what he did is he said, "I am that I am." He became their friend. He became the one who healed them, who touched them, who opened their eyes. And through that revelation, they began to see on their own that Jesus was the Messiah. This Messiah has come. Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. I like how in the term itself, Emmanuel, we say that as one word, and I know in different languages, one word can actually be a whole sentence. I learned that from various languages that I spoke. So I know that Emmanuel, if I say Emmanuel, one word, somebody out there will go, "Well, it's not really one word." But it is. We speak the whole thing, Emmanuel. And for us, it's God with us. And I love how when we tie that together, we find out that Emmanuel embraces God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with us. Created in his image, God wants to be with us. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant." Some translations, "being made in human likeness, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." You see, in order to take the full scope of who Jesus is, we can't simply focus on just his death, burial, and resurrection. We can't simply focus on his birth. We can't simply focus on the miracles that he performed. We can't simply focus on some of the things that he said here and there. In order for Christ to be exactly who he said he was, he needed to be that from the moment he breathed his first air and to the moment that he breathed his last until the moment that he rose again, our Messiah. That is the scope, and that is the span that makes today so special. We're not celebrating a good prophet. We're not celebrating a teacher that was eloquent and able to get the attention of people. We're not celebrating someone who came and was a warrior or some explorer. We're not celebrating someone who had all of these different marks in their life. No, what we're doing is we're celebrating someone that was foretold hundreds, if not even thousands of years before he even came and is still being celebrated thousands of years after he ascended into heaven. Emmanuel, God with us. God desires to have such a relationship with you that you would focus on, "This was all for me." I had a little conversation with one of my daughters this morning, and I'm sorry if I share about what we talked about at breakfast. I'm going to put you right on the spot. But I asked her, I said, what's the difference between Christmas and your birthday? Because in birthdays, you get the presents, you get all the attention, right? It's all about you on your birthday. For me, the entire country celebrates my birth. Awesome. I get presents. It's me sitting there. Everybody brings their gifts to me, right? But my birthday doesn't even feel as special. Like your birthday, I think we would all agree that our birthday doesn't really hold a candle next to today and tomorrow. Because as a kid, what are we thinking of? What do we like about Christmas? The presents, right? And I don't diminish that. I think the gifts, I think it's awesome to be able to exchange gifts. That's terrible that you think that it's all about presents. That's not it. But I said, so what's different about the birthday and Christmas? And she said, everybody gets a gift. Everybody gets a gift. That is exactly what God is wanting, is that there's times when there's individual recognition. But really, the gift that we're celebrating isn't anything that we're receiving or giving tomorrow. It's all about what God gave to us. And he actually had, watch this, he had me in mind. But he also had you in mind. And only God can think that way. As you walk from this place this morning and you go into the plans that you have and the celebration that you're going to be having, remember this, the gift is the gift of eternal life, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's stand together this morning. I'd ask you, if we could just go before the Lord, right where you are right now. Just say, God, do I have this relationship with you? Am I able to say I am in this oneness with you, Emmanuel, God with us? And if I can, I would, even if I knew how to do it in the Hebrew or the Greek, I would. But in the Hebrew, I don't know how to make it singular, but I can in English pretty much goodnessly. God with me, right? God with me. God came because of me. This morning, God did everything that he did, hoping, because it's free choice, hoping that you would give your life to him. You say, well, God isn't hoping. Yes, he is. He desires that none would perish. He wants everyone to come. He will not make a single one give their heart to him. It's his hope. Isn't that interesting? We don't think of God hoping for too many things. But it is. A desire that he has is that everyone would follow him. So right now, right where you are, let's just begin to, God, is that where I, do I have that place? Have I given you that place in my life? Today, tomorrow, there's a closeness in the Spirit of God. And I just want to pray with you. I want to go from this place this morning saying this together. Just listen to this. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that every single man, woman, and child in this building this morning would have a desire to put you on the throne of their heart. That, Father, you didn't come and stay in a manger. You grew and became a man, and you became the fullness of the prophetic scriptures, and you gave your life for us. You died, you were in the ground buried, and you rose again on that third day. And today, we celebrate the beginning of all of that. Father, come into our hearts. Come into our lives. Help us to give you that place together. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. We hope that you have a merry, merry Christmas. If you have other plans tonight and you're not going to be here with us, and this is our last chance to shake your hand or to say hi, we just wish you a merry Christmas. And tonight we will be here, 6 o'clock. We'll be done at 6:57. You know, we'll get you right out of here, but we just want to have some time together to worship and celebrate him. God bless. Have a great day. Merry Christmas.